Hello everyone, I'm Maciek Jemiołkowski and I'm a business development lead at Neton, a Polish fraud prevention provider. It's a great pleasure to welcome you to our Crypto Talk series, where we are discussing and analyzing various topics from the cryptocurrency world. And today with our guest, Chris Wood, we'll try to answer the question if a cryptocurrency is the future of gaming industry. Chris is a chief operating officer at Pixelmatic, a game development studio based in Shanghai, producer of, among the others, Infinity Fleet game, which on a daily basis is using crypto tokens and NFTs in its ecosystem. But I'm pretty sure we'll discuss it in detail in a moment. So Chris, first of all, thank you for joining us today. It's a great pleasure to host you on our podcast. And maybe as a beginning, could you start with a few words of introduction about yourself, Pixelmatic, and how this whole journey actually started?
Matej, it's good to meet you. Thanks very much for having me on. So as you said in the very fantastic intro you gave me there, I'm the COO of Pixelmatic, which is a game studio. We're currently working on a massively multiplayer online game, which means, you know, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of players playing together. And that's called Infinite Fleet. Personally, I've been kind of working in sort of business operations for the past decade, and now obviously working in my area of very much great passion, which is video gaming. That's a basic introduction.
All right, thanks for that. And I'm pretty sure it was a really nice journey, both from real personally in terms of the company. So moving to our topic, crypto and gaming, I'm quite kind of excited for this conversation, because despite the fact that I'm much closer to the crypto industry than gaming, I'm observing the industry with quite considerable interest, especially since our local Polish gaming market started the global expansion with the titles like The Witcher or the Cyberpunk. But Chris, we have on our plate today two rapidly growing industries, which reach out to several millions or even hundreds of millions of users all over the world, and it's growing with double-digit pace year by year. So could you share your perspective on how it all started and if you think that such a combination like gaming and crypto industry is a recipe for a success, or actually maybe it's an explosive material for it from your point of view?
Well, I'd actually like to add on to the numbers that you said there. There's actually 2.2 billion gamers around the world. It is an enormous industry. It's bigger than music and movies combined globally. That is, so that includes Hollywood, Bollywood, the whole thing. It's absolutely huge, and it is accelerating continuously. You know, it's always smashing the estimates that Statista and those continue to grow. So gaming obviously is a massive industry, which of course a lot of investors, a lot of people are very, very interested in getting involved in. Now, blockchain, of course, as you say, is also growing at an exponential rate. And where the meeting is I think where I perhaps disagree with some or many other blockchain games, in that I think what blockchain can do in a game is take something that is fundamentally really, really valuable for players, which is digital items. So we're talking, you know, what we would call skins, like guns, spaceships, swords, whatever it might be in games that players find very valuable, and offers them an opportunity to have a free market to be able to trade these digital items for other digital items. The blockchain allows for this permissionlessly, you know, without third parties. It really is an incredible free market opportunity. Many other blockchain games, though, they take it a little bit too far. And right now we have this play to earn, you know, is a buzzword at the moment. It's very, very, very popular at the moment. And in my opinion, a lot of the blockchain games out there focus very much on the earn part rather than the play part. Most blockchain games these days are not very fun, to be perfectly honest. In fact, I don't think there's any that are particularly enjoyable to play. And also there's a massive on-ramp for the average gamer, because gamers, they don't want to download MetaMask. They don't want to play with dApps and things like that. They don't care at all. They just want to play games. So this is the route where I guess we differ a little bit from many of the other typical blockchain games, because I think that there's so much built in around these blockchain ecosystems. They're trying to force blockchain down gamers' throats, saying, you know, you need this, you should have NFTs, you should have this, you should have the this and the other. And gamers don't want it. They're pushing back. Most gamers don't like it at all. We take a little bit of a different approach with Infinite Fleet, which is to build an amazing, fantastic game first with a studio that's, you know, we've been around for a little while, since 2011, with some top developers who've worked on AAA games, to build an incredible experience that is really enjoyable. And the crypto aspect of the game is kind of secondary. It's something that we offer as a feature to our gamers that they can have, like I said, this free market if they wish to explore it. But we, like I say, we don't force it down their throat. We don't make them download dApps or invest in some token or something like this in order to play Infinite Fleet. It's a typical traditional game, actually.
That's a really interesting approach from your side. And thanks for this explanation and for the presenting, let's say, those pros and cons of the blockchain in the game, in the gaming. And from my point of view, I can absolutely agree that maybe because blockchain industry, crypto industry is still relatively young and in a development process, all the projects that are appearing on the market are rather focused on presenting the blockchain abilities and bringing it much closer to the end user, while we are forgetting about the game itself and how enjoyable it can actually be. So it's great to hear that you're finding this balance and that you're able to focus on what is actually what the end user is actually looking for. But looking at the, let's say, big picture of the game industry, you mentioned few disadvantages of blockchain, or rather how they're not properly used. But can you tell a bit more about what are actually the benefits of the blockchain, of the cryptocurrency that can be added to the gaming world and the gaming industry?
Certainly. So I think one of the biggest ones actually is atomic swaps. So if you have your virtual items as NFTs and you're trading with other digital currencies, with other virtual or cryptocurrencies as such, you can use an atomic swap, which allows for totally trustless transactions. So basically, each of the transactors can load up their assets at the same time, and both of those transactions must happen at exactly the same time, or they won't happen at all. The transaction will fail. So this is actually really huge because, you know, since early 2000s, people have been trading digital items on, you know, World of Warcraft, Second Life, all these kind of things. But they do it typically on black markets, you know. they go to eBay and they say, I want to buy, you know, a whole bunch of World of Warcraft gold for $5 or something, right? So then the seller has to meet the buyer in a place in that game and make that transaction. And of course, both parties have to trust each other that they'll turn up and that the assets will be given to them. The blockchain really allows for this with the atomic swaps. So we don't need any intermediary. We don't need to trust another person. It really gives you safety and security in your ability to transact with other people. And of course, your NFTs and all that kind of thing can be in cold storage as well. So, you know, you're less concerned about hacking and things like this. This, I think, as I say, the key point here is the opening up of ownership of digital goods, because gamers, they spend hours, you know, thousands, literally thousands of hours playing games like World of Warcraft, EVE Online, and all these others, building their characters, their fleets, their swords, their plasma guns, whatever it might be. They spend so much valuable time grinding and developing these things. And they now have this ability, this portability, right, where they could take that item and say, you know what, maybe I don't want to play EVE Online anymore. I want to change to a different game. So I'm going to trade all my goods here for some really cool items in another game. And I haven't lost the time that I've put in, and I've got a really great step up for this new game that I'm coming into. And I think that is very exciting. I think that's something that's really, really going to make gamers come around to this technology. The problem, as I said, is we just need to make games great first.
That's true. Let's start from the beginning and let's focus on the game and added as add-ons. That's really interesting. But you're mentioning trust. And from my point of view, and let's say from our industry, where definitely the fraud that is happening all over the world, and the whole dark web world is also based on the trust and how you can make a transactions that at the very end will or will not be finalized in a proper way. I'm just thinking if on the status quo that we're having today, this kind of transactions in a absolutely virtual world can be named as a 100% safe, and you can fully trust that this kind of transactions will be secure, and it won't actually harm you in any way?
Well, I think if you're using an atomic swap, absolutely, because you know exactly what you're getting. I mean, if you're trading P2P, if you're on Infinite Fleet, you take a Polaris Versa Mark I spaceship and you're trading it with another player for some INF tokens, which is our in-game cryptocurrency that you earn by playing, not by buying, by the way, just want to add that in there. We're not monetizing the token. Then players know exactly what they're trading, and they don't need to trust anything, because at the end of the day, if anything goes wrong, the transaction totally fails. Now, if we're talking about hacking and things like that, like I say, I mean, that's all just a case of cybersecurity, and that's going to be a case with anything. I mean, you can take your assets and put them into cold storage. And that's something that we're going to be actively doing. We're going to be educating people on storing their things properly. I mean, like I say, that's probably not going to be something that we open right away with for brand new players who maybe haven't, you know, maybe they don't even care about the NFT side or anything like that. But for the people that do, then obviously, yeah, we're going to be spending some time to educate and to make sure that there are, you know, proper securities in place. But at the end of the day, they can keep things in cold storage.
Okay. And how it looks in terms of if you're already collecting all the goods, the skins, the, I don't know, spaceships, whatever you're playing in. And let's say you have this huge assets of all those things, and at some point you would like to quit the game. You would decide to I don't know, it's the end, I'm bored, or something mm-hmm. like this. Is there a way that you can actually monetize these assets, or for example, swap them to any other cryptocurrency like the Bitcoin, Ethereum, or something like this? Why I'm asking is because I remember a few years ago there was quite big case that as far as I remember, it was a Russian hackers that were using game industry. I can't remember the name of the game, but they're using the games to actually money laundering. Using, let's say that you're entering the game, you can swap the items, etc. But nobody was controlling what is the price of the item. So one party was offering extremely high price. The other part was obviously purchasing this or bidding even higher. To pump the price, and this is how they were rendering the money, and you know, nobody's controlling this area. So I'm just wondering how it looks like with Fleet Game, Infinity Fleet, and in general in this industry, if you maybe heard something.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think for us, we, first of all, we're not a play-to-earn game. We don't believe, we don't say anything about our INF token kind of gaining value or anything like that. We just see, to go to your first question, can a player take their items and essentially earn money from them, right? Well, for us, yes and no. That basically, no, because the INF token which powers the transacting doesn't really have any value. Now, it's possible at the end of the day that someone could, you know, P2P to sell some INF token and then they give some liquid Bitcoin over it or something like that. That's certainly possible. But that's certainly something that we're not pushing by any means. We're not doing an exchange listing or anything like that. We're not pushing the value of INF. Now, in terms of anti-money laundering on that kind of sense, We're taking all the precautions that we can, but any digital asset can be open to this kind of situation, right? So I think it's just going to be a case of working very much with legal to make sure that we're all above board on that. We're very, very close with our legal team. We're actually doing a regulated offering. So we are raising money at the moment with a security token offering. We're doing that with Bitfinex Securities. And the security token, of course, is a regulated instrument. It's got an ISIN number. It can, you know, we're completely and fully compliant. So that means that obviously we work very closely with lawyers to make sure what we're doing is very much above board. And, you know, from our lawyer's eyes, the AML is not a concern for the INF token because, you know, we're not trading it for anything with real value as such.
That's true. That's also what we are observing, that despite we are doing everything to be this one step ahead of the fraudsters, their industry and their world is also developing. It's also moving forward. So the new techniques, the new approaches are everywhere. But it's really great to hear that you have the approach, you have the knowledge, you have the know-how, how to tackle that, and that you're focusing on the game, but you're also focusing on the security of the end user. So it's really great to hear that.
I think that there are a lot of blockchain games out there. As you know, since 2021, it's been like it's really taken off, right? But so many of these offerings have been totally, totally, utterly unregulated, and a lot of people have had rug pulls. And this is something that we, you know, like I say, we're not doing an investment for our INF token or anything like that. We're doing a regulated raise. We are taking AML seriously. We are taking, you know, KYC and all that kind of thing seriously for our investors and all that. We think it's the way forward to approach this through security token offerings, as opposed to unregulated ICOs, DAOs, and all that kind of thing.
That's for sure. That's a good point. Chris, very open question. I'm not directly maybe referring to your company, but of course, feel free to share also your plans and your vision. But as we are touching the crypto industry and gaming industry, let's say, how can you imagine this world, the combination of those worlds may look like in, 5-10 years, maybe even further? What will be the benefits? What will be the risks that actually also will be appearing here? And maybe you're already seeing some interesting projects or interesting cooperations that are happening on the market that may surprise us in a near or even further future.
Well, we're seeing large companies start to get into this. So obviously Ubisoft, recently even the ex-studio head of Nintendo was talking about how he's actually really interested in blockchain as well, and NFTs and things, and talking about, he called it play to own, which I actually quite like. I thought that was quite an interesting way, as opposed to play to earn, which I must admit I do prefer that. Anyway, my point is, it's coming, it's here to stay. This is one of those things where right now gamers are really edgy about it. They don't like it very much at all. But then again, back in the day, they didn't like digital items and downloadable content previously either. There was this really big thing a while ago where this massive game called Oblivion had a downloadable content of some armor for your horse. And it was like $2 or something. I can't remember how much it was. $2 or $3. It wasn't very much. But it was just some costume for your horse, essentially. And all the gamers were so angry about it. It's like, who's going to pay for this, you know? Now, you look at Fortnite, we're talking... I think they hit 2 billion in their first year, or very close to it. They certainly got more than 1 billion. It's a huge industry now. Now, of course, it's apples and oranges. It's not the same thing. But I think what people are seeing right now is, you know, MSM, mainstream media things saying like, oh, you know, Bitcoin consumes this much energy, so people don't like that too much. Or, you know, too many people using buzzwords of Web3 and metaverses, and it's all just a bit much and people don't like it very much. But when people just settle on the very simple use case, the very straightforward, simple use case of a free and open market for virtual goods, for having ownership of a virtual good, which then you can obviously, like I say, liquidate and take into some other game or something like that, that's going to be awesome, I think, and that's going to be here to stay. What I don't think is going to be here to stay is when people go too far into the idea of, you know, VR worlds where we're going to be living in them and living in metaverses where we can take a virtual asset from one game into another game. I mean, there will be some cases of that, but not enough people will care about it, because gamers don't care about that. Gamers don't want to take their they don't want to take their massive spaceship supercarrier from EVE Online and bring that onto Lord of the Rings Online with wizards and goblins and things. It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, games have to be built with rules. You know, games have very specific balancing rules, artwork, all this kind of stuff. And I don't buy into this metaverse idea of people just being able to jump around different games and bring those items into those games and things, because I don't think it makes sense. And it could have always been done previously anyway, which it kind of has with Minecraft, Fortnite, and all those that just use those IPs. But, you know, there might be some interesting things of block, you know, IP on the blockchain, perhaps sharing rights or something like that. That could be an interesting idea that I've kind of been mulling around recently. But I do think the most key thing is, like I say, ownership of virtual goods in the sense of saleability and transferability. I think that's going to be huge.
That's interesting that you mentioned metaverse. That was actually like the next question from my side. But you already let's say covered that a bit. I must admit that I'm also a bit skeptical. Of course, I understand the hype around this, and this is something that also is a great opportunity in terms of investing, etc. But I'm not seeing it as a huge future for the gamers, for the industry, and how it will develop. But maybe I'm wrong. We will see. But something that you also mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation is that you are looking, and maybe you're hoping, that there will be a chance that the players will be able to, for example, decide, okay, that's, I'm already bored with this game, I want to take all the things that I collected, earned, etc., and move to the other one. So do you believe it's possible in any way that those market giants like EA, Ubisoft, and many others will cooperate on this matter? Or maybe there will be a project that will help them to combine these things? Or it's rather, you know, business is business, so money will decide otherwise, and they will be still pushing towards this pay to play, etc. approach.
Well, I think it's already happening, like with Ubisoft Quartz and things like that. I mean, it's like I say, I think there'll be open digital marketplaces. So when I was saying that analogy of, you know, players taking their items across, I mean more just in terms of liquidating those items, taking that digital currency and then being able to buy new items in a new game, right? Essentially, this way, as opposed to literally transferring the items into another game. But yeah, the big companies, they're looking at it. They'll slowly come around for sure. I know from obviously my network of contacts and things like that, that more and more large companies are really looking into this, and I don't think it's going to be stopping anytime soon. So I have absolutely no doubt that the big corps are going to be utilizing this for sure.
Are you also hearing any gossips about cryptocurrencies in this world, or maybe also big names from the cryptocurrency world, like exchanges, that are interested how to get into this area?
I think they all are. To be honest, it's the main buzz. I think blockchain gaming and stuff like that, it really is huge. But again, you know, my concern is more on pump and dump projects. You know, I think a lot of people are investing in projects that, you know, they only have a white paper or some concept art. They don't actually have a prototype. There are going to be some games that do really well. I've no doubt about that. But I guess my concern is that, you know, some new game will pop up, get a whole bunch of investment, and then die, you know, and then something else will pop up, and so on and so forth. So we really need the first project that's going to have a very long-term potential. There's a couple out there at the moment. Safe to say, obviously, I believe ours is as well, of course. But the reason that I feel confident in Infinite Fleet's long-term potential is because I don't think, from what I've seen, there are many teams out there that have the same kind of AAA experience that we do. I mean, our team comes from, you know, Ubisoft, Relic, Sega, Nintendo, you know, and we've got a team of 70 people working on this massive multiplayer game that we expect to last for decades. We expect Infinite Fleet to be around 20 years from now, absolutely. And also, not just that, but Samson, our CEO, Samson Mo, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's just a massive influencer in the Bitcoin space. And he was previously the COO of BTC China, and also the ex-CSO of Blockstream as well. So Blockstream obviously was it's the biggest infrastructure company working on Bitcoin, essentially. So Samson, who was previously an executive at Ubisoft, you know, he was pretty much instrumental in their East Asian success, also as an influencer in the Bitcoin space. You know, we've got this real meeting of both of these worlds here that are, as you said in the opening, huge markets. And I don't think there's another team as well positioned as we are to really smash it in this front.
That's really, really interesting future, I think, in front of us. And honestly, fingers crossed for of course, your journey, for the Pixelmatic Infinity Fleet and the rest of the industry, because I think the more companies will be heading toward the success and cooperating in this area, the better for everyone. So thank you, Chris, for the explanation. One last thing that I hope you didn't mind if I ask, because at the very beginning, when I was like doing some research and the first time when I heard about Pixelmatic and its correlation with blockchain and crypto world, and the moment that I realized you're based in Shanghai, and it's kind of very interesting correlation for me, how Chinese government is actually constantly changing their minds towards banning, accepting the crypto. How it actually looks like? Is it anyhow influencing your business, or it doesn't matter at all? How do you approach this?
Oh, no, it's not a problem for us. We're actually a globally distributed team. So we're registered in Hong Kong. We have an office in Shanghai with a bunch of developers there, where I'm based also. We also have folks over in Canada and Europe. So, you know, as I say, we're globally distributed, but registered in Hong Kong. And our publisher, the publisher of the game as well, Exordium is actually based out of the Caymans and also has issuers in Luxembourg and in the US as well. So, you know, it's not too much of a problem for us, but obviously we have to be careful about gamers in China and working on the crypto side on that front. But that's something that we're working on for sure. It might just mean that we use a different publisher, essentially, a local publisher.
All right, I see. So there is always a workaround, but I'm glad that there is not a blocker, because it would be a pity for the industry. All right, Chris, thank you very much for this conversation. I think we covered quite a lot and very interesting approach. It was really great to hear how you're approaching these aspects and how it works for you, for the Pixelmatic and Infinity Fleet. So thank you for your time. It was once again great pleasure to host you here. And I really hope maybe in the near future we'll be had the chance to have a chat again and maybe discuss another topics in Crypto Talks.
Thanks, Vijay. It was a real pleasure to speak with you.